Welcome back to a brand new Creative Encounter podcast episode. I'm your host, Juett Z. Payne, and you are back for episode 72 of this podcast. Welcome if this is your first time. Go ahead and subscribe, hit the bell, do all of that awesome stuff so you don't miss any future episodes. We drop an episode every single week. But guys, without further ado, I want to introduce a great friend of mine. We met at this great event, and we just clicked right away because we're like in the same field with like pretty much everything. It was crazy. So this is my brother, Lehman. Lehman, what's going on, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good, dude.
Good, bro. Yes, sir. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. So it was a ride to get over here.
It was a drive. Coming from Plainfield.
Oh, man, dude. But you made it, bro.
Made it on in.
Yes, sir. Now, we wanted to connect right at, I wanted to connect right after we did that event with Aisha.
Yeah.
And what was that? That was the Hood, what was it called?
Project Hood. Entrepreneurial thing.
Like an entrepreneur panel type thing. Man, and as soon as they say, you know, you do gospel music and, you know, you're an artist, recording artist and all that, I was like, oh, we got to link up.
Absolutely.
You know, but then both of us are worship pastors, worship leaders and everything. So Easter, you know, of course, is like the big day, Christmas and Easter, you know, if you know. And you're like, bro, I got to connect after that because, like, it's a lot.
Don't have no time.
I know. So tell me, how was that season kind of leading up to Easter?
It was busy.
Yeah.
Bouncing around because not only do I lead worship between two ministries, I'm also a sound and audio engineer. So then working at a seven-day Adventist church on the weekends, having to do that and prepare for however they do their Easter preparation on top of being the creative director for New Beginnings Church, what I did for Easter for them, and then being the worship leader, minister of music in Gary. So I'm bouncing between all these different places.
And they're not like down the street from each other.
Well, the good thing is the Seventh-day Adventist Church is on 71st in Michigan.
Okay.
So that's right up the street from New Beginnings.
Good.
So that's not a hard, but going from New Beginnings to Gary,
then
to Plainfield, then New Beginnings, Gary, Seventh-day Adventist, so much, but... Yeah. We got through it.
It sounded like you could have squeezed in, you know, some podcast time between that if you wanted.
No, I ain't gonna try it, brother. Not with that drive.
Not with that drive.
Nah, but just not.
Oh man, that's cool. Yeah, bro. So tell me, you know, like my whole thing on this podcast is I like to go back to when people got into their craft.
Okay.
You know, so kind of go back and share, you know, how you got into ministry, into music and stuff. You know, for me, I know like with family, you know, my family grew up in the church and all of that. So how did you get into, you know, music and specifically like, you know, the gospel realm?
Well, I'm a PK.
Yeah, okay, there we go. You know okay,
so my dad was a Baptist pastor in Indiana for like 40 years. And I'm the youngest of 10 children.
Ooh, boy.
My dad, when he passed away, he was 92.
Wow, no way.
Yeah, so my dad's been old all my life. Like, he had me at like 58.
Wow.
So everybody likes my granddad. It's like a running joke in my community because everybody knew us. Everybody knew me. So that's your granddad.
Your little grandpa.
That's my dad. I know. Wow. He's 70. I'm 16. I know. I get it. I understand.
No, it's funny because, honestly, John Mayer, I think his dad had him when he was like 50.
Yeah.
So John Mayer's dad is like 90 something right now. Still alive.
Yeah.
90 something. Yeah. So I'm saying, like, you know, so that's how you knew you were going to be a great, you know, John Mayer. He's one of the greats too.
You know what I'm saying? Come on here. I mean, my dad was born in 1927.
Right.
That says a lot.
He's hanging out with Dr. King and them.
No, he actually did.
I was just playing.
No, for real. He actually did. When he moved to Chicago, Jesse Jackson, Dr. King, all that. He was a very big instrument. Well, not a very big, but he did play an instrumental part in that whole movement, civil rights movement. So he met Dr. King and everything. But yeah, so that was that. So I honestly never wanted to sing. I always wanted to play drums. That was my thing. Yeah. But I used to get like whoopings for not singing.
Yeah, really?
So... I was just saying. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't really start taking it serious until high school. And I started listening to a lot of jazz. Ella Fitzgerald, some other artists.
Yeah.
And I was doing this scatting thing. I don't know why. It was just really bad. Really, really bad season in my life, okay? But I started doing that. And then I listened to Kim Burrell, the live in concert, right? And I played that CD until it like wouldn't, like I had to go buy another one
because
I played it religiously. I wanted to learn everything. And so from there, that kind of started my journey. But I grew up in like in a strict household. So I would have to like sneak and listen to R&B, you know what I'm saying? So like Michael Jackson was cool. With No Dirty Diana, you know what I'm saying? So it had to pick and choose, but I would sneak off.
Was Billie Jean okay?
Billie Jean was fine.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Only because the video. My dad liked the video.
Okay, there we go.
When he heard the song, he was like, nah, I don't like that.
I like this
one. Only person you'd be loving is God. Yeah, you know, it was that. I mean, but it was also Baptist. So, you know, mm-hmm. he ain't going to light a cigarette up in a minute.
Yeah, right after.
So
yeah.
It's just all of that. But, you know, that was cool. Yeah. So, but that started my journey. My mom was a little more lenient, so I'd get in the car with her.
Yeah.
It was all like Anita Baker mm-hmm. with the Vandross. You know what I'm saying? And so from there, I sang in the choir as a kid. Mm-hmm. I directed the youth choir, probably like mm-hmm. every, you know, preacher's kid. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? We did the inspirational choir, mm-hmm. you know, all that good stuff. So growing up in church kind of honed everything,
mm-hmm.
like learning hymns and things of that nature, because there was no praise and worship
mm-hmm.
in the 90s. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Early mm-hmm. 90s.
Yeah, it was just straight choir.
It was straight choir, mm-hmm. hymns.
Yep.
That's really mm-hmm. all you knew until kind of Kirk came out.
Yeah.
And even then, it was a choir originally at mm-hmm. first. You
yeah,
know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So, right. So wow. That kind of like started everything. And I slowly started transitioning mm-hmm. out of that. And then once I got really hooked on Fred mm-hmm. Hammond,
mm-hmm.
that kind of opened up my ear. Because my dad, he wouldn't let me listen to Commission.
Because
it sounded too much like R&B.
No way.
I didn't know about Commission until I was good.
Like you already listened to Fred.
I was in The Purpose by Design. That was my favorite record.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But then, like, when I got about 20, I listened to Commission.
Wow.
But I didn't know nothing about Commission. Mm-hmm. It's R&B.
Yeah.
And like, what are they singing about? That's yeah. too much snare and too much synthesized drums in that music for it to be holy.
Right, it wasn't
so
holy.
Yeah, my dad, when he wasn't going.
The synth ain't holy.
Nah, the synth ain't holy. Ain't no synth there. They're popping that snare. Nah. You got to have be off the time.
There you go. Right?
You know what I'm saying? So that was a good.
Wow.
I learned everything from my dad's mm-hmm. church and all the minister of music that were there. They kind of like mm-hmm. groomed me a little bit.
Yeah.
From there, I left my dad's church, went to another church, and that's when we kind of started, like, the praise and worship movement was kind of taking off.
Mm-hmm.
But
let me ask you, who in your family was into music, like a musician?
My mom and my dad.
Oh, so both of them were
musicians.
But
nobody played. Well, my dad, mm-hmm. I don't know if he actually really played. Like, we had a piano in my house.
Mm-hmm.
He could play some things,
yeah.
but he wasn't necessarily a musician.
Okay, yeah.
Like, my mom, she did all the singing, but both my parents could sing.
That's awesome.
So pretty much everybody in my family, for the most part,
musical,
can sing.
Yeah.
Maybe, like again, my oldest sister is 72.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
I was a great uncle at 12.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
So, everybody, for the most part, out mm-hmm. of my siblings,
mm-hmm.
have some type of musical ability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they kept it, that's another thing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Because exactly.
if you don't use it, you will lose it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But coming from that background, and then,
mm-hmm.
man, I took it seriously after high school.
Mm-hmm.
That was my major thing. Like, I actually, like, my senior year,
mm-hmm.
I, like, stopped going to class,
mm-hmm.
and it was music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was trying to get on gigs.
Yeah.
My dream was, I was telling everybody, yo, I'm going to go sing background Fred Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
That was my thing. Like, I'm really going to do this. It's going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make this kind of money. Da, da, da. My dad was like, bro, you better stop. Where your contract at? You know, you can't make that kind of money.
Yeah.
You ain't going to do that doing this. Da, 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 da. And it's crazy because right before my father passed, we had, like, a real, like, really good conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just like, son, you made more money with your voice than I've ever made in pastoring,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to dive into that. Mm-hmm. However, that's still like, I'm just like, wow, like
mm-hmm.
you weren't hearing that when
mm-hmm.
I said I wasn't singing for a living.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I got into music production
wow.
and just playing and programming music. Mm-hmm. That just kind of everything just kind of clicked.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
But you were hearing it loud enough.
Absolutely.
You were hearing it loud enough to continue to pursue that.
Absolutely.
The Holy Spirit was calling you on that specific journey. Like when you sense and feel like, yo, this is what I want to do, to the point where you're like, I'm missing class because this is what I'm passionate about.
Yep.
You already know God's setting you up right there to be like, this is what you are called to be doing.
I don't know if you're telling me to get beat too, because I got beat. For missing that class.
Yeah, be all
you know,
good.
I got told that.
But that spanking,
you know what I'm saying?
It was part of
it
the
story.
It was part
it
of
was,
the story.
It was all part of the, you
it was
know,
part of the story,
what
yeah.
needed to happen,
right.
you know.
But that might have been because you were listening to Mike Beat It.
Could have been that.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have been that.
Yeah,
really could have done that, you know. But
yeah.
I couldn't listen to that, though.
You could listen to that song.
No. Again, it was too much guitar. It was
too much guitar.
Too much rock guitar.
Too much synth.
Too much heavy metal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
nah. That's not God. Nah. Play A Lady in My Life. You can listen to that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Listen to that. Anything else? Nah.
Bro.
Yeah, man.
Hilarious.
But yeah, but that was how I kind of got into it. But again, I never wanted to sing. I never took it seriously. Even now, I tell my praise team people, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm here because I'm obedient to my call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be on stage. Mm. Like, I put me in a sound booth, put me behind the scenes, I'm fine. You're good. I never wanted to be in the front. Like, even when me accepting my call to, you know, teach, preach, like, that's those things I never want to do. So I'm always in the way of, like, put me in the classroom with about five people, we can talk about the word. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to get up on in front of anybody and do anything, but it's just, it's just really just me being obedient. I still don't want to sing in front of people. To this day. And I'm not that I'm not nervous, not anymore. Now, when I was a kid, I would get real nervous and shake really bad. But I did a lot of theater through high school that kind of shaped my stage presentation, you know what I'm saying, and kind of got me out of that fear. Had a lot of acting coaches because I've done movies and plays, you know what I'm saying? So all of that stuff definitely kind of honed what I am today. But I still don't want to be in front of people. I'm an introvert. You know, so it's like I don't have to be here.
It's fine. Now with that, you still use that gift and talents because you coach people in vocals, you arrange and things like that. So let's pull back to, I just love when people begin to speak and walk in the vision that God's calling them to. So you're like, I'm going to be performing with these different artists and doing, having these opportunities. And you have had opportunities in that realm. So I kind of want to go in there and see how, like, those opportunities came to manifest with these different individuals that you have had the opportunity to record with and play with and stuff like that.
Man, those things, it's all God. I tell people all the time, I've never had to worry about my life. You know what I'm saying? God has always taken care of me. And I think maybe like the, I don't want to say dumb, but kind of like the innocence of not knowing, you know what I'm saying, but trusting regardless, you know what I'm saying? So that's what it, that's honestly what it's been for me. And so when I moved to Chicago, initially I was homeless immediately. So I was living in the studio at New Beginnings Church for like for a couple of years, you know what I'm saying? And so from there, I got really, and what's still cool to this day, like my brother, I don't call him nothing else, Philip Feaster. He was playing for Fred at the time. And so I didn't like kind of jump on a praise team for that. But in my mind, I'm like, well, you know, if I get close, you know, somebody put me up. You know what I'm saying? But God put me in that particular situation to serve. I really had to serve and really get my heart wrapped around why you do this and not for just for the stage and for the notoriety or for the platform.
That's it.
You really got to do this for me. And so for a couple of years, it took that time. And then what happened initially was with Sean Mitchell, reached out to Calvin Rogers and Phil for the creator for this record. And so they were going to use somebody else from Fred's camp to do the vocal production, but I've been living in the studio. I've been arranging vocals just day and night, you know what I'm saying? Just on Pro Tools. And this was Pro Tools 8. You know what I'm saying? So you already know about this. This was 8. So I was in there working it out. And Phil was like, well, why don't we give Lehman a try? So that was my first major record and artist I work with. You know what I'm saying? Was with Sean Mitchell. He gave me a shot. And then toward the middle of the record, that's when Anthony Brown came in. This was before Anthony Brown was Anthony Brown. This was right before the end. And so he came in, and we kind of collabed on a couple songs. But I wrote on that record. I was a featured artist on that record, vocal produced that record. And that was my initial start. And then from there, it just happened to where Michael Bethany, who sang with Fred for years, was transitioning out to be worship pastor at Tony Evans Church. And I was always subbing for him. You know what I'm saying? I started getting those calls. Hey, can you do these dates? Blah, 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 blah. So I would come out. Of course, I had my music locked in because I've been wanting to sing with Fred since high school. You know what I'm saying? And so
Now, where are we at now as far as like what age are you? How many years later?
I am 27, 28.
Yeah, so about 10 years later is when, like, you know, you saw all the stuff, pieces falling in place.
Everything started falling in. So, he was like, Mike was like, okay, I'm going to have you out here. Don't embarrass me. And that's been,
I'm going to give you a chance.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you a shot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
He sent me the music. I listen to the music every single day, all day.
Yeah.
We did the gig together. He was like, I'm bring you out with me for the first time, so make sure you're comfortable, you get to know everybody. We did that gig. He didn't even really sing background that gig. Like, because I was nailing. He was like, wow, you know the music. I'm like, yeah, why would I? You call me, and I'm getting paid. Why would I not know the music? You know what I'm saying? So that happened. He transitioned out, and then the Our Trust record came around. And this was like right after Fred had his double knee surgery. And so that record came around, and so I got called out to do initially just the engineer. But because Mike wasn't around and Fred was just in this space of I'm a see. I'm gonna give people a chance.
Yep.
And that's what happened. So I vocal produced 12 songs on that record.
Let's go.
I co-wrote a song on that record. Mm-hmm. All from just my relationship. This all happened because of Philip Feast and Calvin Rogers.
That's crazy.
But because of those two people.
Yeah.
And so that's just kind of, from there, once you get that name and all this stuff, now everybody else comes and acts. So I've done stuff with, like, we did Kiara Shear Crazy Thing.
Yeah.
Where I was the overdub engineer for Kiara Shear's Free record.
Okay, I don't think I've heard that one.
That's the
or if I have, probably a couple.
That's the one she did in Chicago.
Okay. How long ago?
My Redeemer has saved me from sin. Mm-hmm. That record. I'm trying to think what other songs that you probably know. But the You Are had like a little Michael Jackson vibe on it.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But that was like 2000, maybe like 11, 12, 11, one of those. Yep, February 28th. They just did a thing on Instagram about it. Hilarious.
Yeah,
I'd send it to you. But I was the overdub engineer for that.
Wow.
I've mixed on J.J. Harrison's record. Mm-hmm. I worked with Brian Cage. Mm-hmm.
Man, Byron, bro. Come on, dog.
I got a list. I have a list of accomplishments from 2011 to now.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I credit my brothers, but, man, it's really just all God.
Yeah,
like, I never thought I would be in the position I am at now, and I'm 40 now.
Wow.
You just turned 40, so it's crazy. So.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome, dude. Praise the Lord, bro.
Yeah, man.
Because my thing right now is like, okay, you coming to Chicago is what kind of set things up, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what was the move? Like, what even made you come, you know?
I'm going to be honest. You know what I'm saying? My baby mom put me out.
I was just about to say this. Got some kind of girl.
Yeah, my baby mom put me out. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? You know? And I had a lot of learning to do. And I honestly feel like me staying in Gary because of everybody knowing, and not like it was like I was very entitled, one.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, everybody knew my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So people would do things for me based upon them knowing my dad.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to Chicago, don't nobody know you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you really got to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
I learned how to take public transportation, take the train,
like
do all these things. It, like being in Chicago for that, especially like the first 5 years, grew me up.
Yeah.
Like spiritually and as a man, because there were certain things that I just didn't have because...
Yeah.
All these other things were afforded to me in Indiana. You know what I'm saying? So me getting kicked out of my baby mama crib, you know what I'm saying? Having that whole situation happen, you know, it grew me up.
Yeah.
So.
Man, that's good, man.
Yeah.
Look at that setup, man.
No, it was a setup. It was all God's design.
It was all, man, wow.
Because, man, I was right uncertain.
Now, you got the memories flood right
now.
Yeah,
man, because when you in it, it's like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I really had to figure it out. Like, I had to catch the train to come back and take care of my daughter sometimes when she had to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I didn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
So I would catch the South Shore train all the way back because I was in Hyde Park anyway.
Yeah.
Catch it back. Walk
from
Broadway to, like, Martin Luther King. That's a hike.
Yep.
If it was hot or cold.
Yeah. When we first got married, that's where we lived.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm hot or cold. I'm walking, you know what I'm saying? And to get to the apartment, take care of her. When I'm done, leave, you know what I'm saying? Try not to get no verbal spats, you know what I'm saying? So that whole process, God was just really like just teaching me, all right, you got to be patient.
Yeah.
You got to know when to shut up.
Yeah. It was a patience thing and then a humbling thing as well.
Oh, my God.
Because for him to, oh, my goodness, it's like for him to elevate, as the scriptures just tell us, you know, you got to be low for him to elevate you.
Oh, I was
low. So, right, you know what I'm saying?
I was super low.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't get no low.
You know, like people are like, well, where Lehman at? Like,
man, Lehman walking somewhere. Because I had a car, it got stolen. I had I was living in my car for a minute.
Wow.
Then all my stuff got stolen. The car got stolen, so everything in there was gone.
Yeah.
So I was just really at a very, very vulnerable place.
Yeah.
And it was just God just really just like, all right, well, it's time to grow you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been around your family for a long. My dad, he retired from pastoring.
Mm-hmm.
But then the house that we were living in, the house I grew up in, was Church Parsonage.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So he had to move out.
Yeah.
So my mom and dad ended up moving to Missouri with my sister.
Okay.
So there was really nobody in Indiana outside of my older sister.
Mm-hmm.
But again, she's my older sister.
Yeah.
Like, she'll do things based upon my dad saying, hey, look out for your brother, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But we have a good relationship now. But at the time, it was kind of like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're my sister, but...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was still mature there. She gave me a house.
Then y'all got the age difference, too.
Age gap. And she gave me a house. She actually did really good. I credit my sister. She didn't give it to me, but the rent was really cheap.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying no rent, man. You know what I mean? I don't know how to pay no bills, man. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never paid a bill in my life.
You was at Mickey D's.
Man, only bill I ever paid was a cell phone bill.
Right.
This is when the minutes was free before, you know what I'm saying? After 7 days was free, I had a Sprint phone. I had a flip phone. That's all I ever paid. That was my only worry.
That's it.
Paying rent and paying utilities, man. I didn't know none of that. And of course, these are things you hear as a child, like, my dad takes care of this. He pays this. Mom does it. Mm-hmm. This how we live. And
but it's not until you in it.
It's not until you in it.
Man.
And you getting them notices like, shoot. I had a job, but then I was really focused on my career.
Yeah.
So I ended up quitting the job. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about going on tour.
Yeah.
So it never happened. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's just.
I mean, we all, okay. So all you had to have been in your 20s during this
Absolutely.
Time. Yeah, yeah. Because, we were all in our
20s. The top of the 20s.
Yeah, yeah. This is like right when we just like, anything is, we're just dropping everything, just running and chasing all of that stuff. Yep. Like, okay. Then in your 30s, you get more like. Get the maturity settled in and be like, okay, this is what life is about.
Yep.
So if y'all in y'all 20s, get past that phase. Man. Go ahead and catch it now, actually.
Man, catch it now if you're in your
20s. You'll be good.
But, catch it now, but then have a good relationship with your parents where you can come back home.
Right there you go.
Because you're going to mess up. It's inevitable. Yeah. You're going to mess up. Mm-hmm. Something's going to fall through.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it doesn't for you, but if it does, just make sure you have that good rapport with your family, whomever it is, so that way you can come back and say, hey, look, didn't happen.
Yeah.
I need about 6 months, a year, figure it out. Because I didn't have no plan.
Yeah.
My parents was gone. I didn't want to stay with my sister. Then she gave me the crib. Mm-hmm. I didn't treat it right, so she put me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now I'm in the car, living, moving around, hustling.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to figure life out. Mm-hmm. Now I get a girl. I moved in with her family.
Yeah.
Then she moved me out. We got in her. It was just a whole thing of stuff that I wish I didn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it grew me up.
Yeah.
It was things I had to go through.
Yeah.
So I got a son upstairs now. I gotta tell him, like, hey, you can't do that. Let's be smart. Don't handle kids till you're ready.
All
those conversations.
All of that stuff.
Keep yourself till you're married.
That's it.
Keep yourself, huh?
That's it.
Come on here.
Holiness
is right.
That's a whole whole episode on this.
By itself.
Keep
yourself, huh?
Keep yourself. But man, so now, I mean, all of that happened, but now you're in a season where, you're on auto pay.
Yeah.
We were talking about that. Y'all should have been there. So we were at the event. And as soon as he told that, he's like, we were like, what's success? What does success mean to you? We all had a specific thing on the panel. We said what success means. And Lehman, he goes, right now success means like, I got every bill on auto pay. Like the whole room started clapping and stuff. Because I was like, that's where you want to be at.
Where you want to be.
You are just flowing and you got stuff going and stuff. So God has really just connected those pieces, you know.
Yeah,
now, I love it, bro. Now, that panel was about entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tell me how it's been being an entrepreneur as opposed to, working a typical 9-to-5. For those on this channel who watch who are going and venture out to be business owners and entrepreneurs, the journey's not easy. We know, but, something you can kind of say about it.
I would just say it's harder than working a regular job.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was just more so as switching over names. So instead of the church hiring Lehman Gray, now they hire my company. So I take my name out of it, also for tax reasons. You're getting that later.
Yeah,
So that way you don't get 1099 or whatever, and then you got to pay all that money.
Yeah.
But that was a smoother transition. But now with me doing like the sound and the music thing, I was always easy.
Mm-hmm.
But now me adding the live sound component, that's a little different and a little bit more hard work because one, I don't really own a lot of gear. That's one. But I do have a relationship. It's crazy. My friend who worked at a theater for years, we were cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's now the shop manager for one of the largest rental companies in Chicago.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know that until maybe a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So I've been hitting him up like, I need to rent this piece of gear for this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Getting the insurance through my business so that way we're so it's all of those pieces. It's still hard work because it's a grind.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about how much money you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm cool. Mm-hmm. Even with between the three ministries I'm working at now, everything is perfectly fine. Yeah. However, I want to leave something for not just for my son, but for my kids in general.
That's it.
Have some type of wealth, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because again, man, life is short.
Mm-hmm.
I want my wife to be good, you know what I'm saying? Us to be fine. I'm trying to go to Dubai, brother.
Yeah, that's it.
And not be worried about no money.
Mm-hmm. And the scriptures say a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children.
Mm-hmm.
He don't just stop there. God, that just shows God is generational.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing we do is, we fully last couple years, it'll be 3 years soon. We just fully went in as entrepreneurs. Because we operate our business and work elsewhere, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went all in. But we're building that legacy for our children. And you see it all through Scripture.
Yep.
You see it all through Scripture, the monarchy.
Yeah.
All the way from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, onward, David, Solomon, onward. it would always just passing on the torch. Yep. Before they would die, they would be like, okay, now you continue this. Mm-hmm. Now you continue this mm-hmm. and stuff. And they would just pass on, you know, their wealth, their riches and stuff. Obviously, the spiritual blessing, but we're talking from a business, perspective here yep. at this moment. And they would pass on the wealth onto yep. their children and stuff. So, you know, just setting your kids up, especially yep. in this generation.
Man.
Dude, it's like we have access to everything. That's what I talk to everybody out here about. Like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be going, your business shouldn't be flowing because we have literally every tool mm-hmm. available. You just search
every
something,
tool.
Get started with what you have. You have a phone. If you have a cell phone, you could be making cheese. That's all you need is a cell phone and a background. And it's like, you good.
If y'all who watch this podcast, it's yeah. written, you younger guys, mm-hmm. it's really no excuse now.
Yeah.
We came up in a time where mm-hmm. YouTube was just about funny videos.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. 05.
Yeah, man.
To like 08, 09. Yeah, we were just goofing around in school.
Goofy, fun yeah, around, yep. recording stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we grew up on now.
Yeah, yep.
I've learned things about business, mm-hmm. how to run my business, yeah. tax information. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to know how to do mm-hmm. is on the internet.
Yes.
There is no excuse now.
Yeah.
It's a level playing field. You mm-hmm. have Instagram, you have any social media, yeah. you can build your brand and be making millions of mm-hmm. dollars.
Yep, that's it.
Like I just got into dropshipping not too long ago. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, even doing that, yeah. like, it's... You can make millions mm-hmm. of dollars just yep. from the internet. So get up and get it. It's really that.
That's it. Yeah. That's literally it, man. I love it. That's so dope. So tell me, now you've talked about, you know, projects and things that you've done for other individuals. Now tell me about your business specifically mm-hmm. and what are some, like, goals and ventures that you may have for this year specifically, like 2024.
Yeah. This year I want to drop an EP on myself. I always put myself on the back burner, mm-hmm. working for other people and with other people.
Yep.
But my particular company, I do all type of genre of music. So mm-hmm. we do pop, mm-hmm. R&B. I haven't really gotten into rap. I'm not really a rap.
Because mm-hmm.
I've done some rap sessions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really like the rap sessions.
Yeah. Okay, so you're more so... Yeah, I know. Are you're more so instrumentalist, actual vocals.
Well, you know, it depends. Like, yeah. With my last couple artists I've worked with, I've mm-hmm. produced everything. So mm-hmm. from the programmer to the tracks to the sampling, mm-hmm. that was all me. Mixing, mastering, that was all me.
Yeah.
I prefer not to do it that way. Mm-hmm. However, based upon budget, you know, mm-hmm. things happen the way they happen.
Yeah.
But I would actually prefer to really walk into the studio and tell the artists what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be a LaShawn Daniels,
yeah.
if I'm being honest. Like, yeah. that's really a Fauntleroy, a James
Fauntleroy.
I just want to sit, write the song, vocal produce,
mm-hmm.
sit back, get the publishing.
Yeah,
you know, that's really what I really want to do.
Yeah.
But I'm going to release a song, an EP on myself.
Yes, sir.
I'm working on two ballads with a couple artists. I actually did a full EP mm-hmm. on an artist named Kyla Jade. She okay. was on The Voice a couple years ago.
Oh, no way, yeah.
She's located in Nashville.
Yeah.
So I got seven songs on her, but then me and Philip did all of the production.
Mm-hmm.
But then TC, Tyon Christian,
okay.
who wrote Acapella for Brandy, like we collabed on two songs on the record. So I met him, really good people.
That's dope,
yeah. It's just, man, I'm really focused on mm-hmm. me for this mm-hmm. particular time.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I want to have music out by the summertime.
Yeah, there we go.
I already got things planned.
Yeah. You got the stuff written.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, it's just in
I got songs.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a writer, so you know, you just got songs in the queue.
Yeah, oh, man, dude.
So I've just taken things, made it more modern.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to give everybody a glimpse of, you know, from what can be done
mm-hmm.
for me as an artist. So you got praise and worship, you got the gospel mm-hmm. trap,
there you go.
You know what I'm saying? And you got the heavy praise, you know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to give everybody a good mixture of mm-hmm. everything. So that's my plan.
Man, that's so good.
The EP is what I'm working on. I'm working on a couple more artists. I'm not really... Mm-hmm. It depends on the money, I ain't gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I'll take a new client if that cash is right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
I'm really, because I always put myself on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
I always do for other people, paid or not. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Because, like, again, sometimes I barter. Everything is not a money thing.
Yeah.
I'm big on relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I'm the focal point for this particular season.
Yes,
I'm gonna get my stuff out, and then from there, we'll see what happens. You know what I'm saying? I got a sound gig coming up this month mm-hmm. for the TV station WTTW.
Yeah, of course.
They have a gospel showcase coming up.
Yeah.
And so the Seventh-day Adventist Church pastor,
okay.
his background is media.
Okay.
And so he got really connected with them. And so he's trying to, like, infuse the gospel community
mm-hmm.
with WTTW on a broader scale.
Let's go.
So he kind of hooked me up with the sound gig, because I've done sound for them in-house and I've rented sound for them for concerts,
mm-hmm.
ran the sound, all that good stuff. So that was all part of my company,
mm-hmm.
Suite 1121 LLC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to really elevate this year.
Yeah, I love it, man. That's so dope.
Yeah.
This is great. So you just mentioned the name of the company, mm-hmm. so I was going to kind of go there and ask, like, how'd you come up with the name? I know you mentioned something about your family, like your daughters or something.
Yeah, so
yeah, it's
kind of this one is really, the 1121 is my son.
Okay.
He was born November And then the eighth, you know, 21.
Oh, there we go.
Mm-hmm. So that's for my son. My music, though, my publisher, my PRO, is Not Joe Matty Music.
Not Joe Matty.
So my oldest daughter is Madison.
Okay.
We call her Maddie. My middle child is Christine Joanne.
Okay.
But we call her JoJo.
Okay.
And so that's this was before LJ was even, my son was even a thought. Right, so it was not Joe Matty Music.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So that's what that is. But then my son came around. I'm like, well, I got to have something with his name. So that's where Sweet 1121 came from.
And what do both businesses do? Like, what's the focus on both of them?
Again? I haven't done an LLC with Not Joe Matty Music. Okay. That's just what I put my music on it for publishing.
Okay.
For BMI and for ASCAP. Yeah.
Right, right.
But for my LLC, that's music and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, we have, I forgot what hers is called. It's called The Gettable. Mm-hmm. I think of the name of it. We put our, what's that? The drop shipping company underneath that.
Okay. There you go.
So we started to do that. Mm-hmm. And my wife, like, I'm trying to get her, y'all pray, because she's like a fitness guru.
Okay,
like,
yep.
Like, yeah. She could tell you how to use, like, lose weight, like, immediately.
Hey,
like,
let's go.
She got pregnant, you know what I'm saying, and then lost the baby weight.
Then y'all went to sleep, and woke up the next day.
And she was skinny. She was basically... I'm like, yo, I blinked and you was back little, like, when I met you. You know what I'm saying? And so, people at the church, they're like, oh, my God, you got so small. And I keep telling them, like, God is trying to edge you in that direction because he keeps sending these people your way
asking how
to get it done.
What's wifey's name?
Her name is LaQuisha. We call her Q.
Q. Huh? So now folks know.
Huh?
And you finna start this.
That's right.
You're not about to start this.
You're gonna start it.
Okay. Huh? Yeah. So
now she is taking the classes to become a certified
fitness coach.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Fitness coach.
Wow.
Yeah. She is taking those classes. But no, my wife is amazing, man.
Love it.
She has a master's, she has an MBA.
Yeah, that's cool.
She just got her not real estate license. What's that? Insurance.
Okay.
Not too long ago.
Yeah.
So my wife does it all, wow, man. She's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're gonna talk after this because I guess I'll get some ideas for
you. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Man, I love this. Cool. Yeah, man. Okay, so you share things you got going on. So now I want you to, kind of just give like an encouraging word to the individuals who, you know, watch this podcast, listen to this podcast, something that you can spur them on with an encouraging word, trying to get them motivated and just to move forward in what God is calling them to do, you know, something like that.
Man, all I can really say is just trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times, like what we were saying, like when you're in it, it's a lot of uncertainty.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I can only imagine how Abraham had to feel knowing he about to kill the promise.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because there was Ishmael, but then you sent him off in the desert to die with some water. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now this is you and your wife's last laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I can only imagine how he felt, but that journey was a faith walk, really, because he didn't know there was going to be a ram in the bush.
Yeah.
He had no idea. He just had instruction. Go to the mountain, kill your son.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, and when you're doing whatever God has called you to do, it's little that. It's like, well, okay, well, go to the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to have to part ways with some people
and
some things, and that process is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, just really trust God. And don't try to skip the process, because you're going to end up right back where you had to start.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Waste more time.
Yeah.
And when I'm learning now at 40, time is so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, that's the one thing you can never get back. Now, God, of course, he'll restore the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? For you being foolish and all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? However, man, why? When you can just do it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you're single, huh?
Yeah,
ain't got no kids.
Yeah.
And no bills.
Yeah.
You know, paying rent. No mortgage.
Just a cell phone bill.
That's all you got.
That's all you got.
Come on, man. Just a cell phone bill? You probably ain't paying that. Come on, man. That's an iPhone. Your parents paying that. Come on, now. Just do right. That's
just,
all.
Just do right.
I try to tell my bonus son. You know what I'm saying? I try to tell him, like, yo, man, he's 21.
Yeah.
Like, yo, man, all you got. I'm like, your mom will do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
I will help you as much as possible.
Yeah.
Just do what you're supposed to do. Whatever you feel like the Lord is calling, and I know you want to go to the military, so do what you got to do so you can get there.
Yeah.
Trust that process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of distractions.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to lie about that.
Yeah.
You can get distracted on the journey. However, if you just really just buckle down and put your faith and trust in God, I mean, you really can't go wrong with
that.
Like that. And that's just, again, that's been my life. Yeah. I've never had to worry.
Yeah.
I went from homeless to a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm living a life people said I would never live.
Mm-hmm.
I have a family that loves me. People said I would never have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? All because I really
so crazy the stuff people say. Just like,
man, Everybody got something to say. You're going to be like this. Like, yeah. And honestly, you start to believe that because you hear it so much.
Yeah.
People downplay you. You're not going to be this. You'll be this type of dad, this type of father, this type of businessman. Your daddy was this. Your mama was this. It's like, yeah, that's not what God said about me, though.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's ultimately what matters. Mm-hmm. Whatever he said about you, he said it, and he ain't changed his mind on it. You just have to lock in with what he said and his vision for your life and his purpose and his will and just move forward in that.
Wow. Come on, man. Yes, praise God. That's it, bro. Yeah. Dude, this is so good. Hey, y'all better get some notes on exactly what was just preached right now.
Come on here. Preacher. My Cash App, if you want to, for your tithes and your offering. Get your tithes to God, but the offering.
It'll be in the link in the description.
We're going to put it at the bottom.
In the description
right there. Right in front of the mic right here. Make sure you, in post, put it right here in the bottom, okay?
Dude, man. Hey, bro. Thank you so much.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, sir. This is going to be great. Yeah, we got to connect. So you in Plainfield, you super close, actually. I mean, traffic's was whack right now.
Right. It's Friday. It's Friday, and it's rush hour.
Rush hour and stuff, but, you know, we going to connect.
Absolutely.
It's going to be good.
Absolutely.
You know, got some ideas to drop by you, but it's going to be a good one.
Okay.
Yes,
sir. Yep, I'm down.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yep. Hey, y'all. This is my guy, Lehman. Absolutely phenomenal. Lehman Gray.
Yeah.
And, brother, I just appreciate you.
Yeah.
And, first of all, you know, before we wrap up, I want to make sure you tell them how they can follow you.
Follow
you and all of that.
So my name is L E as in Edward H Man. So Lehman Gray GRA as in Apple Y. You can find me on Facebook. I'm not really active on Twitter like that. But my Instagram is Lehman the Great. Lehman the Great. All one word. If I'm on Instagram. I ain't really gonna. I don't be on TikTok like that. I mean, I'm on there. Yeah. I ain't posting on there like that. Everything I do is kind of Instagram. So, you can find me on there.
Love it. Awesome, guys. Yeah, so that's in the description below as well. And remember, guys, Creative Encounter Podcast and Juett Z Payne Music is a ministry, a nonprofit through ACT International. So if you guys want to support this ministry, become a monthly financial partner, I would absolutely love for you guys to do that. That link is below as well.
Become a partner.
Yeah, become a partner.
Monthly.
Y'all. Become a monthly
partner. Pay the subscription. $5, $10. You know, you can pay that.
Put this on all the platforms as a prescription.
Come on, man.
Prescription.
He's prescribing the podcast, but you need to subscribe to it, huh?
Man.
I'm dropping gems out here today.
Go ahead and plug this.
You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Somebody put me out. I'm on fire. All right?
All right, y'all. All right, we love y'all.
See y'all.
Thank you, good brother.
Thank you, man.
We'll see y'all next episode.
Peace out.